Ramsey TV.
2 Corinthians 2:12. Now, on coming to Troas for the evangel of Christ, and a door being opened for me in the Lord, I have no ease in my spirit at my not finding Titus, my brother. But taking leave of them, I come away into Macedonia. Now, thanks be to God, who always gives us a triumph in Christ and is manifesting the odor of his knowledge through us in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God in those who are being saved and in those who are perishing. To these, indeed, an odor of death for death, yet to these an odor of life for life. And for this, who is competent? For we are not as the majority who are peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God in Christ, we are speaking. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of MCTV. I'm Martin Zender, your host. I am the world's most outspoken Bible scholar, broadcasting here from the edge of the bottom of the Florida Peninsula, and indeed, at the edge of the bottom of everything. That's how I feel, at the edge of the bottom of everything. And yet from the bottom, from the last place, after all, my last name starts with Z, and all my books, wherever they're filed, they're the last, because Z. But the last shall be first. And so from a place of humiliation where all of you are, we are speaking. Now, this is a very strange passage. Sometimes you have to wonder how Paul just seems to always mash together different thoughts, disparate thoughts. It's like he's just grabbing whatever comes into his head. And yet when we look, we find that there's a method to this guy's madness. And there is here. Now, this is touching, I think. On coming to Troas for the evangel of Christ, and a door being opened for me in the Lord, I have no ease in my spirit. No ease. I'm agitated. My spirit is troubled within me. Why, Paul? What epic thing is happening to you? I couldn't find Titus. I'm telling you, if this wasn't in the scripture, I wouldn't believe it. Here's the epic Apostle Paul. And like you, like me, he's irritated. What's his problem? He can't find Titus. He's looking all over for him. I was going to take Titus on this trip. So has anybody seen Titus? Like, I just got a letter from him. He was supposed to be here in Macedonia. Has anybody seen him?
Well, I saw him yesterday, but I don't know where he is today.
He said he was going to be here. Well, he said that he was going to be here, yeah, but he said he had to visit his aunt up in Thessalonica. Paul's like, you're kidding me, what? And this is the unease Paul had in his spirit. Being agitated, he couldn't find his companion. I mean, this comforts me because it seems like a tiny thing, and it is a tiny thing, but it's an aggravation. And I don't want you to think too little of all the aggravations that you go through. The little irritants in life that when added up, I'm sorry, they're not little. The proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back. Well, this camel is limping along like this. And when you react violently to some little thing and someone says, how could you react so violently to such a small inconvenience? It's not that you're reacting to that. It's just that that is the 100th irritant that happened that day. And then combine that with all the irritants of your entire life, and you find that you have no ease in your spirit. We're still talking about the spirit here. So this is the spirit of God operating in Paul, and yet he can't find Titus. And so he takes leave. He says, all right, well, I tried to arrange it with him. He's not here, so I'm taking off.
I came away. And then the very next verse, now thanks be to God. What is so strange? But Paul realizes that even in his worst moments, even in the most petty irritations of his ministry, of his walk, and he had many of them, he's thanking God. And so I don't want you to be distraught about your irritations. As I always say, the irritations of life are just the waves on the surface of the ocean. As the wind blows, you get some white caps. Sometimes you get some hurricane waves. But underneath the ocean, at the bottom, the sea floor, it's always quiet. It's always stable. And that's you. That's your spirit. That's God. You're fine. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about anything. You're stable. You're in Christ. These are just superficial irritations. They're all going to go away. So while they're happening, I want you to say with Paul, now thanks be to God. Let's go on. Who always gives us a triumph in Christ. Always? I'm reading the Word of God here. Thanks be to God who always gives us a triumph in Christ. How can our irritants be a triumph in Christ? Because we're going to triumph over them. Because you're still alive. Because you haven't killed yourself. Because you're enduring. Endurance is no small thing. Don't sell yourself short. Well, I'm just putting up with this. That's good enough. You're enduring. Paul speaks elsewhere of the endurance of the saints. Paul lauds people who are enduring. Paul, we're just enduring. Paul, that's fantastic. Let me put your endurance up on a high shelf and put a spotlight on it. And let's all give it a round of applause. Let's give old Steve here a round of applause. Why, what he knew? He just went through another day without killing himself. So, he's enduring. Thank God for it. Who always gives us a triumph in Christ. You just have to go by faith on that one. And is, this is an act of Christ. Christ is manifesting the odor of his knowledge through us in every place. Odor is a figure of speech because I don't think his knowledge smells like anything. The knowledge of Christ doesn't smell like hot chocolate or onions or bread baking in the oven. It just is a figure for something that comes forth from us that permeates our immediate environment that we are not aware of. And the only way that we can believe this is happening is if we're reading it in the Word of God. And this is God speaking through Paul. Now, he's just talked about his being irritated at not being able to find Titus. A small thing, but it's a big thing to Paul. Now, thanks be to God who always gives us a triumph in Christ and is manifesting the odor of his knowledge through us in every place. His knowledge. We have a knowledge of God. God has given us his secrets. We know about snatching away. We know about his aeonian plan. We know that God is not going to eternally torment his enemies, but he's going to save his enemies. We know that it is God who is operating everything in this world in accord with his will. We know that it is God who makes vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. You know, I've been believing these things for 40 years, and it's tempting for me to take it for granted. Like, to me, this is common knowledge, and it's always a shock to find out that somebody else doesn't know that. Somebody thinks that they're the captain of their own life. Somebody thinks that God is going to eternally torment people. I just, what? So, this knowledge that you have, I'm just reading the words on the page. God is manifesting it in every place, in every place. A place is is where you go every day. Wherever you are, there is an invisible manifestation. That's the word here, manifesting. So I'm trying to stick with scriptural words here. This is so fantastic. I don't want to get too explanatory with my own words. I want to go with the scriptural words. God is manifesting an odor, figure of speech here. But it's like an odor, in that it is wafting from us, and like an odor, here's the shock, it is detectable
by the people in the place where we are. Sticking with the words of God. Odor in every place being manifested. An odor in every place is being manifested. This is happening with us. Let's stick to scriptures under. This is happening through us. And it is being done not by us, but by Christ. And it is completely, on our part, unconscious. But it has to do with the knowledge that we have. There's something about that we know what we know, what we know about God and about Christ. We know about the big plan. We know that Christ is triumphant. We know that he won the entire human race and beyond on the cross. We know that he took the old humanity to the tomb. We know that he's not reckoning with us according to our sins, but he sees us as justified. Oh, yeah, we know all that. Oh, well, listen. That knowledge is wafting off of you, literally. That part's literal. The odor is figurative because you can't smell it. But the manifestation, it can't be called a manifestation unless the people around you are picking it up. This is why people act a certain way around you. Manifesting the odor of his knowledge through us in every place. For, verse 15, for we are a fragrance. Paul's sticking, he's not mixing his metaphors here. Paul's sticking with the odor analogy. We are a fragrance of Christ to God in those who are being saved and in those who are perishing. This is where it gets interesting. Not that it hasn't been interesting up to this point. But we are a fragrance of Christ to God. So this odor, figuratively speaking, this knowledge that we have that wafts out of us, literally now, manifesting itself through us. It's going to God. Just like the sweet savor offering in Israel. They burned an offering. It was called the sweet savor offering. And it was pleasing to God. For whatever reason, God liked it. I don't know why, but that was his thing. He stated it to be. And they called it a sweet savor offering. This is that. This is our version of that. It goes up to God. But the thing is, other people get in the way of it. Other people pick it up as it goes to God. Who picks it up? Well, there are only two groups of people who pick up this odor of the knowledge of God that wafts off of us in every place, every day. And that is those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Oh, is that all? There's no other group. In other words, this odor is being picked up by everyone. Every single person you come in contact with. I'm talking about this today because a friend of mine said that a friend of hers is treating her badly. But it's sort of like passive aggression because this friend of hers, who's been a friend of hers for a long time, did not tell her about the birth of her grandchild. She had to find out about it from somebody else. And this was very unusual because they're very in tune with each other over the years. But in the recent past, they've had discussions about God. Her friend is a diehard Catholic. And my friend is a member of the body of Christ. And so my friend was wondering, am I suffering for the sake of the evangel? She said it would really help me to know that I'm suffering for the evangel. Otherwise, this seems like a waste. She said, this hurts. I said, I know it hurts. I know all about it, sister. It hurts to be dismissed. Just that look, just that, or that lack of a look, that turning away when you walk into the room, that agitation. They are reacting to the knowledge of God that wafts off of you. That is, there I go again, non-scriptural word. That is manifesting itself through you in every place. They're picking it up. The Catholics are picking it up. That is, those who are perishing and other believers are picking it up. Now it gets interesting. Like I said, listen to this. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God, in those who are being saved and in those who are perishing. To these, indeed, an odor of death for death. Yet to those, an odor of life for life. And for this, who is competent? Oh, that last line. I'm going to explain that to you. That is amazing. So how is it that the same fragrance going out of us can be to one person something that stinks, something that they're repulsed by, something that makes them turn away from you? That very same knowledge being manifested off of you from Christ through you to God is to those who are perishing, i.e. my friend and her Catholic friend, it's an odor of death. It agitates her because she's of the evil one. She's of the synagogue of Satan. She's a member of the Christian religion, which is a synagogue of Satan. And so anybody who has a knowledge of Christ will give off, manifest this odor. And those of the synagogue of Satan, those in organized religion, will be repulsed by it. They will hate it. Just as the Pharisees were repulsed by Christ. Can you believe it? Here's Jesus Christ, and he's the litmus test. You either fall to the left of him or the right of him. You either fall to his feet and worship him like the woman did, who cried at his feet, broke the vase of valuable perfume and dried his feet with her hair, cried, all these amazing manifestations. The same man that produced that reaction in that woman is the same man that made the high priest want to kill him. Same man, same information, same knowledge, same spirit, same Christ. There it is, right there. I believe it was the angel Gabriel who said to Mary, this one will be for the rising and falling of those in Israel, for the rising and the falling. We're seeing that here in this passage, for the rising and the falling. Our Lord was set up as the standard. And nobody's going to be on the fence. You either worship him or you want to kill him. The Catholics, the Christians, they're not worshiping him. They're worshiping a false Christ. They're worshiping a demon. If they were worshiping him, then when we came with our knowledge, they would appreciate it. They would love it. They would react positively to it, but they hate it. So we are ambassadors of Christ as of God, entreating through us be conciliated to God. We have that knowledge too, that God is conciliated to the world. And the people who are in the religious systems, they hate that, because if God was conciliated to the world, in their minds, that does away with their job. That does away with their mission in life to bring everybody to Christ. You're telling me Christ has already won everybody? Then what are we supposed to do? You just gave yourself away. You just told me that you believe that you are responsible for saving people. You just gave yourself away. Christ did it all. What's left for us to do? Okay. We are a fragrance of Christ to God and those who are being saved and in those who are perishing. For these indeed an odor of death for death, yet to those an odor of life for life. And for this, who is competent? This is so profound. This is so huge that you are like Christ was a dividing line, like you are the continental divide. The water either goes this way or that way. When people come in contact with you, they are either rising or falling, depending relatively on how they react to you. If they reject you, they're rejecting God, and they are perishing for the eon. And this is all happening when you walk into a room. It's a big deal whenever you walk into a room. Christ is manifesting the odor of his knowledge through us in every place, every room.
every building, at work, at the grocery store, outside, while you're running. I'm running Fort Lauderdale. I'm running my route every day. And the literal odor I exude is not pleasant because I'm sweating. It's very hot down here and humid, as you know. But I'm also exuding a knowledge of Christ. And it, I swear, it's picked up by people. It's picked up when I'm near them. It's picked up. And I told my friend, you are suffering for the evangel. Even if you never said a word to this person. But just by the fact that you did, by you mentioning certain truths, she was repulsed by it. We're not competent to be this important of an influence in people's life, to be manifesting the odor of the knowledge of Christ in every place. We're not competent for that. But as Paul says in another place, our competency is of him. We're freaking important for this. Who is competent? Nobody. But God in Christ makes us competent for an allotment of light in the coming eon. But until then, we are that now. And it happens unconsciously because Christ is doing it. But it's no less happening. So let the odor of the knowledge of Christ, which you have, you know more than you think you know. Don't get discouraged. You know more than you think you know. And I don't care what kind of mood you're in right now. I don't care what kind of lousy day you've had. This is happening by the word of God.